So in Parshas Pinchas, we have a tradition, which actually I spoke about today in Young Israel, regarding the idea that Pinchas is Eliyahu, and it's a tradition that we have throughout Chazal. Famously, we're going to see in the Pirkei Eliezer is one of the most famous places where we find that Pinchas is Eliezer, is Eliyahu, not this Pinchas, but a different Pinchas is Eliyahu. And it's throughout the Zohar Kodesh as well. That's the assumption. Just to be honest, for the sake of honesty, there are three Rishonim who indicate that Pinchas is not Eliyahu. The first is the Rashbam in Bava Basra and Daf Kuch Chaf Aleph, where the Rashbam and Tosos seem to assume that there's a Tana, which we're not going to get into right now, which seems to hold that Pinchas cannot be Eliyahu for technical reasons. In addition, the Ibn Ezra, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, says that Pinchas is not Eliyahu Hanavi because it says that he'll be Luzaro Acharav, that the bracha will be for Pinchas and his children who come after him. So why would the Pasuk say his children who come after him if he's going to live forever? So it must be that Pinchas is going to die, and therefore Pinchas is not Eliyahu. Okay, because we know for sure that's not up for debate. We know that Eliyahu lives forever. And then finally, this is not explicit, but it's implicit from the Rambam. In the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he lists the entire Masorah from the time Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah until almost right before him. So there, the Rambam says that Pinchas was mekabel the Torah from Yehoshua. And then a few lines later, he says that Eliyahu Navi was mekabel the Masorah from Achya Shiloni. So that implies that Pinchas cannot be Eliyahu because that would mean that he was mekabel the Torah twice. Why would he need to do that? So there are certain shittos in the Rishonim that seem to indicate this way, but we're going to assume for the next half hour or so that Pinchas is Eliyahu. They are the same person. Let's begin with the famous source regarding the Bris Milah, which is in the Pirkei Eliezer at the very, very end of Perek Chaf Tes. L'amdecha shekol mishehu boreach nimlo. Amad Eliyahu barach me'aretz Yisrael v'nimlo. Eliyahu was in trouble, running away. He was always on the run. Shneamar, v'yakam v'yochav v'yeshta, nigla alav v'kadosh baruch v'kadosh baruch appeared to him. V'amar lo malacha po Eliyahu. What are you doing here? Why are you always getting yourself in trouble? Always being a zealot. Always, telling the Jewish people to stop doing Avodah Zarah. Always not minding your own business. Amar lo, kano kinesi. You are this midah of Pinchas, meaning you and Pinchas are the same thing. You've always been a zealot. From the time that you picked up the spear and you threw it through those two people, you've always been a zealous person. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo'olam atzad mekana. We can't change the way you are going to be. You're always going to be zealous. Kinesim b'shitim al gilu yarayosh ne'amar Pinchas ben al-azar v'chan atzad mekana. And here you're being zealous again. Chayacha, she'en Yisrael osim bris mila ad she'ata ro'a be'nacha. Stop always assuming the Jewish people are doing the wrong thing. The Jewish people do the right thing. They're very careful about the mitzvah of bris mila, and therefore, what's going to happen is that you're always going to go to a bris mila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, that Eliyahu is going to be Malach HaBris, and he will appear at every single bris. Mikan Hiskinu Chachamim Sheyu Osin Moshav Kavod LaMalach HaBris. And this is the source that we make a Kisei Shel Eliyahu Shneamar UMalach HaBris Asher Atem Chafetzim Hinei Va, and he is coming. And this is the source that we have it, that Eliyahu Navi attends every single bris, and we make a special chair in his honor. Now, the Sforno in Parshas Veira says we have a special kisei in order to be mekabel the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Eliyahu, but that we're going to go with now that we make a chair. This is cited by the Tur in Yoredei and Siman Reish Samech Hei, that we make this special chair because of this medrash that says Eliyahu Navi is coming. And the Prisha there understands that we seem to have machlokas. Is Eliyahu being sent to the bris of punishment, or is that a reward? So it seems to be mashma from the Pirkei Eliezer, it's like a punishment. You didn't do this, so therefore you have to go. So the Prisha says, no, it's certainly going to be a praise of Eliyahu Navi that he needs to be every single bris. What a chash of a thing. He's going to be there every single time. However, it's clear from the Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Lech Lecha that it was a punishment. He certainly learns differently than the Prisha. And the Chida in his Maris Ayin in Yavamos and Daf Tzadi Vav says that what was the actual punishment? that Eliyahu Navi would have to run around the whole world every single day, being at every single bris, and therefore he would not be able to be in the Masifta Derakia, in the Yeshiva Shamayla, learning Torah, and he would miss out on all the tremendous chidushim of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov and all the Gedolei Yisrael who are sitting there coming up with this fantastic Shtickle Torah, and he has to miss it. He has to run to the Beis Medrash every single time. Oh, I got another bris, can't stay. And that's the punishment of Eliyahu Navi, that he misses all the amazing Divrei Torah being spoken in the Yeshiva Shamayla. And then finally, the Zohar concludes when it discusses this whole idea. He says that you set the chair for Eliyahu Navi in a place you should say, Zeh HaKisei Shel Yahu. This is why we say it. And the Zohar then says, if you don't say Zeh HaKisei Shel Yahu, then Eliyahu Navi is not going to know Kaviyachal, whatever that means, that he didn't have a chair there, and he was going to go up to Shemayim and then have tainus on the Jewish people that they didn't give him a chair. So it's very important that we say Zeh HaKisei Shel Yahu, that he should know where his chair is. Whatever this means, Alpi Kabbalah, I don't understand. Now, what about the chairs? Let's discuss the chairs for a second. So the Master Vitri, who first quotes this, one of the first sources quoting this, says that you set up two chairs. One for Eliyahu and one for the Sandik, right? You don't want to sit in Eliyahu Nabi's seat. And the Radal in the Pirkei Rabbi Ezra says that it's not proper to sit in Eliyahu's chair. That's for Eliyahu, and no one should sit in that second spot. That's only for Eliyahu Nabi. And the Sandik sits to the side. Now, the Rav Yaakov Emden in his Migdal Oz, which is about the halachas of Bris Milah, so he says that the Sandik sits to the seat of the left of Eliyahu Navi, right? To the left, meaning he's sitting on the right, as you're sitting, facing out. He doesn't know why, but he says this is what we do. The Sandik sits to the left of Eliyahu Navi. However, there's a sheet of the Steichemed in his Mareches Beis HaKnesses at Oslamites. The Steichemed says the Minhag Yerushalayim must only have one chair. We don't set up two chairs, only one. And then finally, the Yad HaKtan HaVos Mila and the Bnei Sassar and his Derech Bechudecha both write that the chair should be like a love seat, like two seats attached to each other. That this is the minhag, it's not to have two separate chairs, but rather this elongated chair for both of them to sit. Again, no reason why. This is just the minhagim that have been brought down over the centuries. So this is the Kisa Shoyo. They talk about adorning it and making sure it looks beautiful, and people have pillows and all these different types of things. So we see that there certainly is a very, very, very old custom going back to having a special chair for Eliyahu HaNavi. The next thing we need to discuss is a fascinating and famous comment of the Bnei Sassar in the Bnei Sassar itself, and also in the Igra Dapirka, another sefer of Rav Tzvi of Dinov. So he says, Namar Li, I heard from Mishem Kadosh Yisrael, Rav HaKadosh Marin, Rav Shlomo Mikarlin. I heard from the Shlomo of Karlin, Zecher Tzadok L'Kadosh Baruch L'Chaim, L'Chai Olam Haba, Hashem Yikam Dalmo, She'amar V'Shem HaMedrash. He heard the name of Medrash. Now, the source of this Medrash, we have to figure out what it is, because it's not clear. B'Shah She'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Eliyahu She'itzarech L'Yos B'Chol Bris Mila Shebi'Yisrael. So we know that Eliyahu Navi has to be every single bris. Amar Eliyahu Navi says, "Anti Adasa Shini Mekana L'Shimcha Yisparach." I am a very zealous person. I do not want to be around people who are not going to be doing the right thing. Kinei Miyeha Bal Bris Bal Aveira. Let's say the father of the child is a Bal Aveira. Lo Uchal L'Spol Yos Sham. I will not be able to bear being in the same room as this person who is a Bal Aveira. V'Yivticho Hashem Yisparach Shikapel Bal Bris V'Azia Reikam Aveira. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Fine. If you go, I promise you that the father of the child will get a kapara for all of his averos, and therefore he won't be a baal aver anymore, and you will be fine. No issues here. The heishivot, efshel yohar moal baal aver. Maybe the moal is going to be a baal aver as well. He's going to have a lot of averos. So if ticho Hashem yisparach shikapar gamlo. So Hashem said, fine. The moal also he gets a free pass. Heishivot, efshel yohar akal haomdim sham baal averos haluuchal ispol. Everyone in the room is going to be full of averos. How am I going to go there and hang out with these people who are sinners? Hivtichu Hashem Yisparach Shikaper L'kol HaKahal. And this is the source, that if a person attends a bris milah, there's a kapara, mechilas avonos, some sort of kapara for one's sins, based on this comment of the Igra Dapirka. Chen shamati shiyotzum edvarim pipi HaKadosh. Now this is what I heard v'nir li, shizeh, shemerubas v'pinchas hu Eliyahu. And this is found in the idea that Pinchas is Eliyahu. It says that he is a kapara for Bnei Yisrael. How is Pinchas a kapara for Bnei Yisrael? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to the bris and give kapara to the Jewish people at the bris. Lo yuchal lisfal ayyadei zeh gorm hakapar liyisrael ki hutzrach Hashem yisparach lapticho kenirli. This is the source. Really nothing that much earlier that's as clear as this. Now.
So basically, he would have come to a bris even if everyone there is not from.
Yeah.
It would make no difference as long as a bris is being performed.
As long as a bris is being performed. Everyone gets a jail out of free, get out of jail free, free card.
Free pass.
We should have bris like the whole day. We're all going to go to heaven.
For the mile is great. He could do anything he wants. Every day he's got another bris.
So,
good life.
There are other hints to this in certain gematrias in Rosh Hashanah, Lelechon, Fiatap, and Marechus Kuf. In Os Aleph says, the Sofei Tavos of Kikol Ha'eda Kulam, by Korach, Kikol Ha'eda Kulam, the Sofei Tavos is Mila, Kadoshim. Kikol Ha'eda Kulam, Kadoshim. By the Mila, everyone becomes Kadosh, by going to the Bris Mila. And in addition, they cite that the Sofei Tavos of Mikol Chataseichem Lifnei Hashem Titaru is also Sofei Tavos Mila, that the Mila brings some form of Kapara, just like we find by Yom Kippur. Now, clearly, this is a very difficult concept of Hashkafa, that you go to a Bris Mila, and then there's a magic wand that gets rid of your Averus. And I am not the first person to raise this. People before me have raised this as well, much greater than me, including Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote a letter, a Haskama, to a sefer called the Otzer HaBris. The Otzer HaBris are four volumes on Bris Mila written by one of the most famous Moalim in the world, Rav Yosef Weisberg. He was the official Moal of Shaar Tzedek in Yerushalayim. Now his son, I think Moshala, has taken over, and now he's the official Moal for Shaar Tzedek. You have a baby in Shaar Tzedek, the chassid comes around with payas and a big white coat. It's a doctor's coat, and he comes and he signs you up, and he's like a Malach HaBris. He is at every single Bris Mila in Yerushalayim. I don't think I've been to a Bris Mila in Yerushalayim, and he has not the Moel. He's everywhere at all times. It's quite miraculous. So he also helped his father publish his Sfarim, the Otzer HaBris, which is pretty much it's every single thing a person needs to know about Bris Mila, regarding the details and how to make a Kiddush, and every single little detail there is in the Otzer HaBris. So on page 17, in the first volume, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has notes. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out this famous idea that there's a kapara by attending the Bris Mila. So he says, this is impossible. He says, Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year, which is the day that gives us total kapara, is only mechaper if you do tshuva. So how can it be that Yom Kippur is only mechaper if you do tshuva, but if you go to Bris Mila and you don't do anything and you stand there, so then that gets rid of all your avos? How could that possibly be? And he explains as follows, that while Eliyahu is at the bris, it doesn't mean that everything gets wiped clean. But at that moment in time, when he's at the bris, so their averos are removed. And he references an idea that we found in the Orachayim HaKadosh, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and the Reishis Chachon as well, that there's a concept of sirchon averos. There's this comment that when you do an avera, there's some sort of spiritual stench or smell that attaches to the person. There's some sort of impact, that residue that it leaves on the person. And what happens is, when a person's by a Bris Mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of suspends those averos during the Bris Mila. And that time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has essentially pulled your averos away from you, becomes a time to do kapara and tshuva, and it's an easier time to get kapara and tshuva. And then after the Bris Mila, whoop, everything comes back, and it's the way it was before. And if a person doesn't take advantage of that time during the Bris Mila to do tshuva and to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's a wasted opportunity. But if you do this type of tshuva during that time, you take advances, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, so that is a time that one is more mesugal, one more propitious to perform tshuva and to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's not a free-for-all, but it's rather a time where a person has the opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do tshuva, which we don't find that opportunity normally during the course of the day or throughout a person's normal year. That is his understanding. It has been noted when people quote this that apparently Rav Chaskel Levenstein, the Mashgiach in Panovich, disagreed. He felt that it was Pashut Pshat, that there's a full kapara no matter what you do. He doesn't really have an explanation, but this is what people say in the name of Chaskel Levenstein regarding this idea of kapara by the Bris Mila. Now, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fischer, the the basin of the Eidech HaRedes a few years ago. So he has a farm called the Eben Yisrael. So the Eben Yisrael in Chelek Zion, in Simon Tess, so he doesn't understand what Rosh Hashanah was so bothered about. Well, don't we find the same concept by the day of Achasna? We learn from Esav that Esav went to marry Machlas, right? And then we have a drasha that he got him, he was Mechilas Avonos when he married on that day. And this is, as we know, this was pointed out that on the day a person gets married, it's a day of Kapara, day of Mechilas Avonos. And therefore, why is it so crazy? We find it by weddings, so why can't we have it by Bris Milah as well?
This is the
So the Kasha Anra, what the Eben Yisrael is saying, is that the Ramban there, quote, and based on a Bereishis Rabba in Samach Zion, the Ramban in Perek Lam Levav and Bereishis say that it says he was Lehis Gaya, that he was coming to convert. And therefore what that means is, there was a form of tshuva. Esav was doing tshuva. It wasn't simply that it was his Yom Chasana, and therefore he had a free fall that he was able to get kapara. But he did it with a form of tshuva. And then, combined again, together, this is a day that is mesugal, that it's appropriate to do tshuva. You have an opportunity that the tshuva will be accepted more on this day, combined with the tshuva itself, and therefore it comes together. And that's why they daven the Chasan and the Kala Davin Yom Kippur Mincha, by the Mincha of the day of the Chasana, they fast, all these things come because it's not simply that you get married and there's a magic wand that takes the Averus away, and it's not simply that you go to a Bris Milah and all your Averus go away, but rather it's a time where one has a better opportunity to do tshuva for whatever reason. Rav David Rabinovich, who is the Biala Rebbe in Bnei Brak, points out in his Orchos David on page Kuftzani Tes, that kapara comes during the milah because the person feels, Eliyahu Anavi is coming. I better do tshuva. An important guest is coming to the bris milah, and therefore what it does is that it causes the person to be maharher b'tshuva, to think about doing tshuva, and therefore it's the flip side. It's not that Eliyahu comes and therefore there's a magic wand, but rather you know Eliyahu is coming and therefore you do tshuva because you want to honor this special guest who's coming. He is Heshiv Levavos Albanim. What does that mean? He says he causes the banim to do tshuva in their hearts. It's not that he automatically causes tshuva to occur, but rather when they know that Eliyahu Hanavi is coming, he's Heshiv Levavos Albanim, he causes them to be maharher b'tshuva. Now, let's discuss for a second regarding the this idea and the source. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Samach Daled that you need to be careful that the Mohel and the Sandik are Tzadikim. This is based on the account of the Orzaru and Chelek Beis. That the Mohel and the Sandik need to be Tzadikim, need to be very chashuva people, very important people. Because, why? Eliyahu Hanavi is going to be sitting next to them, and therefore, you want to make sure you have good people next to the honored guest. So there's a sefer called the Shulchan Gaboa by Rav Yosef Malcho, and one of the Gedolei Achronim. So he writes there a question. He says, why is it that you need to have very chashuva people? If everyone who comes to the Bris Milah gets a kapara, so why do I need to have such a tzaddik to be the tzaddik of the Moa if everyone gets a kapara? How could it possibly be? So he says, what's his raya? We'll get back to his answer in a second, but first let's look at his raya. His raya is, now, the Shulchan Gaboa was written before Rav Shlomo of Karlin lived. And therefore, this could be where he gets the source from. He says, "L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mocha Al Kol Avonosav, K'dei She'yelech Eliyahu L'Sham," that he gets mechila for his sin, so Eliyahu should go there. "Yim Kein Ein Anu Trichim L'Daber Hazeh Shel Or Zaruah Levakish Ish Tam V'Yashal Yo Sandek Omoel." You don't need to have a very important Sandek Omoel because he's going to get kapara. So he quotes some sort of idea, but he doesn't say necessarily where this idea is from. He references a sefer called the Chemdas Yamim, which we'll get back to in a second. So essentially he answers that, as follows, that before, you need them to be tzaddikim because they need to be there before the meal begins. The kapara from the mila only occurs after the mila is performed. But the Sandak and the Moel are going to be sitting at Eliyahu Hanavi before the meal begins. So they need to be righteous beforehand. And then only after the meal is performed does everybody get a kapara. But therefore, that's why the Shulchan Aruch says they need to be tzaddikim, because beforehand they need to be on a level to sit next to Eliyahu Hanavi. Now, he references the sefer called the Chemdas Yamim. The Chemdas Yamim is an anonymous sefer, and let's read what the Chemos Yomi says. This is in Chelek Gimel, Yom Kippur, Parak Zayin, Tfilas Musaf, in the Bir Seder Avoda Venusach Sa. So he says as follows. This comes before the Shulchan Gavoa. The Gemara Nedarim tells us that Avram had bris milah on Yom Kippur, b'shachris in the morning. And therefore, it's a very big deal to have a bris milah in shul on Yom Kippur. This is like a very big deal to have such a thing, because Avram had his bris milah on Yom Kippur. U'beprat l'masha amru ki Eliyahu shoal kapara sanimzayim sham. Eliyahu Navi asks for the kapara of those who are there. Eitzal kiso ki osa anachnu mevakshim kayom hazeh, for those who sit around his kisei. Now, it could be he's saying just those who are involved in the bris get kapara, those who sit by the kisei, but it could be that the Shulchan Gavoa took this from the Chemdas Yamim, and then Rosh Shlomo of Karlin took this from the Shulchan Gavoa, or maybe from the Chemdas Yamim himself. So this Chemdas Yamim seems to be the source that there is kapara from Eliyahu Navi by attending, simply by being by the bris milah. Now, just a little side point, an asterisk on the issue, the Chemdas Yamim carries a bit of controversy. Because Rav Yaakov Emden, who is an expert in Sabbateans and follows the Shabbatai Tzvi, so he felt that the Chemdas Yamim was written by Nathan of Gaza, who was the Talmud of Shabbatai Tzvi. And he feels that the book Chemdas Yamim is of Sabbatean origin. Now, it's not such a big deal, except for the fact that some of our most famous minhagim come from the Chemdas Yamim. Just for example, the Sefer is the source for saying L'David during Elul. It's the Seder source for having a Seder on Tu B'Shvat. It's the source for having a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that's Zecher to the Migdash as well. The fact that Lag Ba'Omer is the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai comes from the Chemdas Yamim as well. And saying Tefillah Zaka by Erev Yom Kippur also comes to the Chemdas Yamim. So it certainly has been accepted by the Jewish people. The Vilna Gaon accepted it, and Talmid of the Gra accepted it, and has been accepted, but it does have an interesting origin. It is anonymous, so we can't really pin it, but it does have an interesting origin. So this certainly is the source for the idea that Eliyahu Navi brings Kapara. Now, they ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Sicha on page Samech about this idea that there's kapara, and he said there's no such thing. He says all we have is a comment of Tosas Msachim and Kuf Yudalid that by attending a bris milah, you're saved from the din of Gehenna. Doesn't mean you get kapara, but there's some sort of certainly a type of schus, but it doesn't mean that you get full kapara. All Tosas says is you're saved from the din of Gehenna. Now that's not a small thing. But it's, I don't know if it's on the same level of getting complete kapara for one's avonos. Next, Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was once honored to be the sandik at a bris milah. And on the day of the bris milah, the father became very sick of the child. And they wanted to push off the bris milah because the father was sick. So Rav Shlomo Kluger said, no, don't push it off. We need to have it as soon as possible. And he said, we have to do it immediately, this morning. And what happened was they did the bris milah, and the father was miraculously cured by the end of the day. So they went to him and they said, okay, that was a good Hasidic Shemaisa, like what's pshat? How did you know that if we had the bris milah, so that would turn out okay? So he said that Rashi in Breishis Yudches says that the malach who went to heal Avram Avinu is the same malach who went to save Lot. So why didn't Hashem didn't have enough malachim to go around? What, he had to save up and do a double dip with Avram and then go to Lot? So why did he have to use the same malach twice? So the answer is that Lot wasn't worthy on his own to have a Yeshua. And therefore, he kind of had to piggyback on Avram's refuah, and then he kind of was able to use the leftovers to save Lot. That's the story over there by Lot and Avram. And therefore, he said, perhaps the same thing over here. The father doesn't have enough merits to be saved on his own, to have a miracle happen that someone should come and give him a complete refuah. But Eliyahu Navi is going to have to come for the bris milah anyway. So just have the bris milah. Eliyahu Navi will have to come for the bris milah, and then while he's here, he'll give the father refuah, and the father will be saved. And he said that's what happened. That was his pshat to explain why to have the bris milah first in order to give a refuah for the father. Two last points that we need to get to. The first thing is the idea of standing for the bris milah. So the Sefer Or Tzadikim in Siman Mem Aleph says that this is the reason we stand by the bris milah, because Eliyahu Navi is coming there, and we stand in honor of Eliyahu Navi. This is not the classic reason given by the Bartanura and repeated by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that we stand because a person is going to do a mitzvah, and therefore we stand in honor of the baby or the kvat who is going to deliver the child to the bris milah. Different reasons for a different time. Last thing, what about a bris milah on Shabbos? Can Eliyahu Navi come if there's a bris milah on Shabbos? Because the Baal Rokeach here writes in his Sode Rezaya. The Sode Rezaya is the book where he discusses all of the secrets about malachim and angels and what they do and what they don't do. So this, it's not too Kabbalistic, this piece over here. So he says, V'Eliyahu Zochor Latov Mamona Al Harbe. He's in charge of a lot of different messengers. V'yeshlo Shluchim Harbe. Shaharei Kishinimolim B'Shabbos B'Harbe Mekomos. On Shabbos Baruch Hashem there's a lot of bris milahs. Eichi Yebekan V'Kan. How can Eliyahu Navi be at every single bris milah? Im'yesh Tchumen L'malam Yitvachim. We know that we can't go outside the Tchum on Shabbos, and Eliyahu Navi would have to fly in order to get there, and therefore, he can't get from place to place because he wouldn't be able to go outside the Tchum, the designated areas on Shabbos. Therefore, he must have messengers in every single place before Shabbos. This is what the Baal Rokeach says. Now, this is based on a comment also that we find in the Drisha. The Drisha in Reis Adihein HaChol Shabbos says that Eliyahu Navi cannot come on Shabbos because of the Tchumen as well, and that's why we know that we say by Moshe Shabbos, we sing about Eliyahu Navi on Moshe Shabbos. Why? Because we know that Eliyahu Navi can't come on Shabbos because of the Tchumen. He can't come because he can't fly around. And therefore, once Shabbos is over, we're so excited that now it's possible for Eliyahu to come and announce the coming of Mashiach, so we sing about Eliyahu Navi in order to hopefully welcome his coming. Now, the Shuvas L'Chsam Sofer in Chelek Vav, in Simon Tzadi Ches, answers this question. He says there are two types of Eliyahu Navi. There are Tzvei Dinim in Eliyahu Navi. What does that mean? He says when Eliyahu Navi comes into this world as a person, when he comes, well, we see there's a Gilui Eliyahu, right? Oh, it must have been Eliyahu Navi who did this thing, or the Gemara talks about Eliyahu Navi making an appearance. So when he comes into the world as a human being, he must follow human law, and he must follow Torah and Mitzvos. That's the rule. He has to appear as a human, he has to act as a human, he has to keep kosher, he has to follow Torah and Mitzvos. But when he comes into this world as a malach, where he doesn't come in a physical appearance, so then he doesn't have to follow halacha. He's a malach. He doesn't have to keep halacha. And therefore, when Eliyahu Navi comes for the bris, says the Chassam Sofer, he's coming as Eliyahu Malach HaBris. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he can do whatever he wants. He can get around, fly, tzchumen, it doesn't matter. But if you have a Gilui Eliyahu, where he comes as a person, so then he wouldn't be able to. But since he comes as Malach HaBris, therefore, it is not a problem. This Mahalach actually fits with a comment of the Sefer Chassidim. So the Gemara in Suvas Kuf Gimel says, this is based on the Sefer Chassidim, that after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, he came back and he said Kiddush for his family on Shabbos, every Shabbos, dressed in his Shabbos clothing. So it's a kasha. If he's coming, how could he do such a thing? If he's not alive, a mace is chavshin and mitzos, a mace isn't chayv and mitzos. So the answer is, says the Sefer Chassidim, that since he came in a physical form, looking like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, therefore he was able to perform mitzvos as well, and he was able to be involved in mitzvos. There's a comment of a Kedusha slave in the Likutim where he asks why we care so much about Eliyahu, if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to life and explain everything. Like, what's the big deal? Why do we want Eliyahu Navi to come if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to life and he's going to answer our questions as well? So we have this idea that Eliyahu is going to be a malach, he's going to be a person. What's Moshe Rabbeinu going to have to do with it? So there's a lot of different inyanim over here as well. The last point we want to raise is a tshuva from Rosh Shlomo Kluger in the Tuv Tamadas, in the Madura Gimel, in Chelek Beis, in Simon Reish Lamedal. He was asked about performing a bris milah in a shul where there's a dead body. Because, as we know, Eliyahu Navi, says the Gemara in Bav Metzia Kuf Yadalid, was a Kohen, right? The Gemara there in Bav Metzia asks, there was a Tana who saw Eliyahu Navi in a cemetery, in a Goyish cemetery, and he asks, ah, aren't you a Kohen? How could you be in the cemetery? And Eliyahu Navi says, don't you ever learn Taros? It's a Goyish cemetery, there's no Tumah, and therefore I'm allowed to be there, even though we don't paskin like that. But so we know that Eliyahu Navi, in essence, was a Kohen. So, how can he come to the Bris Milah if there's a dead body in the shul. I don't know why they didn't take the dead body out, but in the shayla, there was
then a... they wouldn't have a question.
What?
Then they wouldn't have a question.
They wouldn't have a question. So there's a dead body in the shul. So how could they, how could you do the bris mila? How could it possibly, how could that possibly occur? So he responds as follows. That the Gemara Nida says that when a person dies, they're chafshim and mitzvos, they are free from mitzvos. And you cannot say, the answer can't be that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. That's not possible, because the Beis Shmuel writes in Ebn Ezer, Simin Yud Zayin, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, that, quoting the Maharil, that the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi is allowed to remarry, because Eliyahu HaNavi is considered not alive anymore. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi's wife is allowed to remarry. So it must be, we have to treat him as not being alive anymore. So he answers like the Chasam Sofer, that when Eliyahu HaNavi appears in physical form, he needs to follow the mitzvahs he would have to make sure about Tum and Tara. But when he comes as a Malach, so he doesn't have to worry about Tum and Tara. He's coming as Eliyahu Malach HaBris, and therefore he's not bound by the rules of Torah and mitzvahs in reality, and therefore you could perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila, even though Eliyahu HaNavi would have to come with a corpse in the shul. So, we have seen, to answer our question, this is why we care about Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the bris, because it has halach nafkaminas and a number of areas and in hashkaf as well, and it should be that Eliyahu HaNavi should come soon and announce bias Mashiach tzidkenu b'meher v'yameinu. Amen.